Welcome to But Wait, There's More, a podcast centralized for Legacy Church in Plano, Texas, to help equip you, encourage you, and walk through the daily life here in the suburban metroplex of Dallas-Fort Worth. My name is Darian Clark, and I'm happy to be with you today. I am sitting right here in front of me is Pastor Kevin Boyd. How are we doing, Kevin?
I'm good, Darian. Thanks for meeting with me today.
Of course. Thank you for coming and sitting down with me, too. You wrote a book. We're just going to jump right to it.
I did.
What?
I did. Yeah. Kind of that's how I'm feeling right now. What? Yeah. I hadn't set out or intended to. I think I kind of toyed with the idea over the years, but always felt like I was forcing something because that's what you're supposed to do if you're a pastor. And, and so nothing ever really came of it.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere last fall, it just happened. And yeah. I kind of surprised myself with the whole process. And like, what do I do with this now?
Yeah.
I guess I publish it. I don't know. So I'm like, what?
Yeah. So it's called Frankenstein and the Age of AI.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's not a novel. Yeah. It's not fiction. It's actually a spiritual formation book.
Okay. That's great.
So I probably should have titled it something about discipleship or how to grow with the Lord in a digital age.
You know, like pastor words.
I should have. But I, you know, people aren't surprised who know me that I have a near obsession. I think it's probably too gentle with film, with movies. I watch a lot of movies. I love movies.
Yeah.
I love narrative. I love stories.
Yeah.
And so their stories are powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so the lens of Frankenstein, both in film and in literature, I found is a really interesting framework for thinking about how as humans, we reach out to create and innovate, to get faster, to get better, to get stronger, to do more, to express ourselves in powerful and unique ways. But all of those advances and innovations do a couple of things. They, one, reflect something that's inside of us, whether it's what's true of us or what we desire to be true of us, what we love, what we desire, what we want, how we feel. And at the same time, it's kind of like being that echo chamber that social media can be sometimes because I've built a mirror of myself in some way. It's reflecting back to myself these things, so it reinforces in me. And those things might be godly and surrendered and life-giving and fruitful, but they might not be because there's a lot going on inside of me.
Yep.
And so, you know, I'm in my mid-40s. I've got four kids. I am in that really small sector that they call, this is really mean, but geriatric millennials, which simply means that I grew up analog, but quickly became the first of the digital age.
Yeah.
I grew up listening to cassettes and vinyl and didn't have a cell phone. I had a shared one with my mom when I was in 12th grade, and you could play Snake and make phone calls on it. You couldn't text yet.
Yeah.
Wow. And yet began that first generation who was adopting, you know, even their learning in college to the internet.
Yeah.
And then early adopters on smartphones and then early adopters on so many of the advanced technologies of the 2000s.
Yeah.
And I realize it puts me in a place where I've got a foot in a couple of worlds, but I've got these children who are digital natives.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know another world.
Yeah.
And so how they see themselves and the world and the Lord even is so shaped by the things that we have made. They're getting discipled by a digital age.
Yep.
And so I guess the heart behind this was just to create in myself and in those I know and love an awareness of that.
Yeah.
I don't have all the answers, but I'm just saying, hey, let's pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And let's take back the control of what is forming us. Let's not be in, you know, formed by something without our permission.
Yep.
And truly, if we believe life comes from the Lord, let's surrender our formation to Him rather than whatever algorithm is controlling our day.
Yeah, it's good. Well, thanks for sharing your heart behind that. I hope and pray it blesses even one person. It would be a gift. But what was there like a specific moment? Like, have you always thought you'd write a book? Let's back up a little bit. Have you ever thought you'd write a book or was there a specific moment where like spurred it on to like jump down this lane?
There was a specific moment where I jumped down this lane for sure.
Okay.
In the fall we had an event for our Next Gen Ministries at Legacy that was called TechWise. Yeah. And we were riffing on Andy Crouch's marvelous, very little book called TechWise, and a number of other sources that we cited that night. We talked with parents and with teenagers and with kids about technology and spiritual formation right in the heart of this. And I had been preparing for that. It was the overflow of conversations I'd been having for several years in our staff and with my home and with other people's families, with friends in ministry. But it kind of culminated in a night where I just kind of shared my heart with families and was excited. It was an invigorating night. And that night I went home, long day of ministry, and did what I often do at night. And I hit Netflix, and there was a brand new Frankenstein film by Guillermo del Toro that had just dropped 2 days before, and I had been wanting to see it. I knew it was coming.
Yep.
And so long day of ministry, TechWise on the brain, turned it on, and in minutes I had grabbed my phone, which is very, very like 2025, 2026, to have a phone in hand while watching a movie.
Yeah.
Shame on me. But I pulled up my notes app really quickly, and I just started noting things that are happening in that story that I really see as a great parallel or framework for the things that we are making and the potential disaster and the surprising beauty that can happen in that process.
Mm.
So I just started writing there on my phone.
Yeah.
And the next day after work, I went home, family time, kids went to bed. I grabbed my laptop and I started collecting those notes.
Mm.
And the next night, I started writing an outline. And the next night, and suddenly, you know, weeks later, I had written something.
Yeah.
And I said, I on one hand, hadn't had the outset of, I want to write a book and publish it. But the passion for the topic just kind of overwhelmed me. And there was now a book in my hands. And I think it's, you know, they're much smarter people than me. And I'm not a tech guru of any sort. Pastor, that's what I am. But I realize that there's an important thing for me here. And if it's important for me and my family, I'm sure there are other families that these questions and these conversations are happening in their home. And I hope that this is a help to that.
Yeah. So cool, Kevin. I think first, the divine download that turned into the digital download, if you will.
Absolutely.
I just love that. Thanks for sharing that story. Just bringing the picture back to the high level, we're talking just digital technology right now and how it really has a stronghold on our culture and our society nowadays and isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
It's not going backwards.
It's not going anywhere anytime soon, except more forward, more complex, more implemented into faster, our everyday life.
Yes.
Yeah, faster. Yep. Why right now? Why does the capital C church right now need something like this? Or why does Legacy Church need something like this?
Probably we needed it 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It would have been super prophetic to write a book like this 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think now we're right in the very center. We're not at the end. We're far from it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not at the beginning. We've already changed. Our attention has changed. Our identity has been formed. Our desires are being curated by the algorithms that control our feeds.
Mm.
And some of us are aware of it. There are moments where I'm more aware of it, and there are moments where I'm less aware of it. Mm. And I've had a habit of, I'll get on social media, I'll get off of it for 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go, I want to get on for a moment because I'm going to do this or that or connect with so-and-so. And a month passes and I realize my attitude has shifted.
Mm.
The way I carry myself has shifted.
Yeah.
So we're being formed every day. And the question at this point in the stage for the church is, if we're a people who are claiming to be surrendered to the Lord and life is found in Christ alone and the Holy Spirit is my helper, he is my convictor, he is my teacher, he is my guide, that I really need to place my formation in his hands and make sure I haven't inadvertently placed it in the hands of big tech. You know, that sounds silly coming out of my mouth, but, you know, I read an article just last week, someone from the AI world who is deep in it, in the innovation side of it, and just kind of peeling back, there are really just a few names that are at the foundation of what's being built right now. Mm. Everyone else is way up high on the skyscraper.
It's terrifying.
Putting in windows and things. But down at the base, the foundation was built by just a few people that have a controlling direction. I'm not trying to make it evil or scary, but it's just a reality.
Yeah.
And so with that in mind, I'm just kind of calling to myself in this moment and to our church, and I hope it's a blessing to others, to pay attention you know, to the things that are controlling my affections and my identity and my outlook. And and I'm not anti-tech by any means. I'm not anti-AI by any means. I've watched a lot of movies that paint some bleak and scary pictures, and they're really fun to watch, and they'll be scary to live in. But that's not my real mindset. My true mindset is, how do we walk faithfully in the middle of a disciple of a digital age? How are we discipled into Christ-likeness, filled with the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, while participating and living in a digital world?
Yeah.
Because the very nature of the progressive technologies that have been put in front of us have a way of taking a little that becomes a lot very quickly, very easily, and without, imperceptibly, without knowing. And so how do we maintain a Christ-like pursuit while using, living in, walking in a digital world?
Yep. And you mentioned earlier, but you're in a crucial, critical moment and position, being in the generation that saw both sides. And so, and you're also leading a church that you've seen so much and have heard so much about, you know, surrounding a topic like this. And so it's like, it's a tool that's not going anywhere.
Right.
Leave it like that. But how can you redeem that tool to glorify God? How can you redeem that tool to bring it into your discipleship? How can you redeem that tool to advance the kingdom of God? And so I love your heart behind that, and I love your posture. So thanks for sharing that, Kevin.
I took kind of three stabs at this in the book. It's three parts. And the first part is really investigating, what is it in us that reaches out to know more, do more, be stronger, bigger, faster, to create and innovate? What is, I mean, we're made in the image of the creator, the ultimate creative, the ultimate power. You know, we're made in his image, in God's image, so it would only be natural to image bearers that we would want to innovate and grow and create and make. The question is, as we've done so, have we done so in communion with the ultimate maker? Or have we attempted to do so without the maker? That's the Frankenstein you know, framework or principle. He was seeking to be God, not cooperate with God, but to be God. And so he had fire, the fire of creation, the spark, the lightning that animated his creature, but he didn't have the breath of life that comes from the Lord. And so the first part of the book talks really about that thing in us that seeks to reach out and to create, and how that is something that can be joyful and wonderful, but should be, needs to be, must be surrendered. And that second part of the book then kind of turns to how our creations are remaking us. So it's the makers, the made. So how are, in a digital age, things like the internet, the smartphone, the social media accounts and activity, and the pinnacle AI, how are those things forming us in a variety of ways? And so we investigate some of that. And I loved getting to do some research and investigate, what are some of the innovators who were behind some of these platforms? What do they, what did they think then? What do they think now? What do some of the writers and filmmakers, what did they prophetically project, and what was true and what was not true about those things? But how is it affecting us? And then I moved to a third part, where really it's about this hope of becoming human again. It's about how grace is for the makers. Jesus brings life and life abundant, even where maybe we've made some missteps in our making, or we've left him out. There's grace upon grace for us. And I investigate how the Lord forms us. What has been his pattern for forming the soul from the beginning? And how does that contrast with how a digital age is forming us?
Yep.
And then I kind of land with some, what are digital habits? What are habits that we could have, Christian, Christ-centered habits in a digital age that might help us navigate the times that we live in?
That's great. Okay. Well, that's awesome. Summed it up. I'm ready to go check it out.
Well, I hope so. I mean,
yeah.
I have, so far, I have an Amazon review from my mom. She liked it.
Nice.
And my dad liked it. So I'm doing okay so far. But I just put it out a couple of weeks ago on Amazon, and I've got a paperback and a digital Kindle version. And I've had some friends say, I don't like to read paper books. Can you do an audiobook version? Yeah. And I found out it's not that hard, actually. So I'm going to go back and do an audio version and have that on Amazon.
Is it going to be your voice?
So I debated that. I had a friend in our church say, hey, there's this great app for that. There's this great application that's out right now where you read and it does a voice profile. It learns your voice. Yeah. And then you drop your manuscript in, and then you can edit and you can augment and change your voice. And you can even choose to have Morgan Freeman read your book. And I'm going, oh my goodness, this could be cool. And I investigated that. And then I had another friend say, hey, isn't that a little, you know, inauthentic or disingenuous to your central premise? You know, if you're a pastor speaking from your heart to your people, and it's a book about being human, why are you going to abdicate the reading of your book to an AI, you know, chatbot? And I said, that's probably
using your revelation against you.
I don't have the best preacher voice, but people will have to deal with my whiny tone of pastor voice.
Whiny. So what has the Lord taught you through this experience? Maybe it was something beforehand as part of why you wrote this book. Maybe it's something throughout the process. Maybe it's something that someone has shared with you after getting their hands on it. I know it's still early in the process, but has the Lord been teaching you anything through this journey?
Yeah, there's a line that it obviously had to have come from the Lord, but in my preparation for that Next Gen TechWise night, one of my final statements was, we need a bigger vision of joy than screens can offer.
Mm.
And talking with a couple of our parents who were in the room, they said, I want more of that. I want to know more about that. I want to figure out what is that, a bigger vision of joy than our screens can offer. And I think that's the thing that's lingered with me even in the writing, because there's a way that this same concept could be talked about that's very skeptical and very fear-driven and very don't do these things. And it could just move toward another self-help, legalistic, grit it out, persist, you can make it through the digital age kind of concept, which is anti-gospel in so many ways. Yeah. And so I just, you know, something I put in the afterword in my book, which, you know, I wrote 13 chapters, I ended it, and my wife said, I don't think you finished it. And she said, I think there's something more that you need to say just personally. So I went back and kind of addressed that. And this is where I would land. What I've learned, what I'm still deeply in progress of learning, is this. I wrote, here's the truth I've had to face in my own life. We don't just need better limits around screens. We need a bigger vision of joy than screens can offer. Rules and regulations alone cannot compete with desire. Restrictions alone cannot heal the ache underneath our habits, but joy can. Screens promise much and always underdeliver. God offers fullness and never runs out. Screens offer sparks. God offers breath. Fire is what we reach for when we want control. Ouch. Control when we want power, speed, and mastery. Breath is what we receive when we choose communion, dependence, presence, and life. I want a picture of joy that not only competes but blows away what screens offer. And it's tricky because screens are everywhere. and you can't get away from them. I can hardly fill out, you know, a piece of paper at any business or doctor's office or anywhere any longer. Everything is on a screen. I remember when my older kids first went to middle school, they didn't have phones, and they found out everything you sign up for is done by QR code. And so there's no paper. And so I need not just a good habit for managing screens. I need something that blows away what a screen offers me. It gives me greater excitement, greater delight, greater, it's the word, satisfaction. And scripture is really clear. The scriptural authors, especially the psalmists, there's more joy to be found in you than in all the world can offer. Well, we have someone who's entered the boxing ring, the digital age, and I really do believe that really feasting on the Lord, which requires something when culture's moving in a direction. It requires a quiet. It requires a slowness, a stillness. Wisdom's built slowly, which is anti the digital age.
Yep.
You know, joy is deeply satisfying. It's not a dopamine hit. You just swipe and get another and swipe and get another. It's satisfying.
Yep.
I am seeking a growing satisfaction in the Lord that blows away the dopamine hits that the screen offers.
Yeah.
That's what I'm learning right now.
That's good. Talk about some hope. What excites you about the future of the church in this digital age? If you want to speak to that through your book.
Yeah, I think that there is a great opportunity for the church. We're so often boycotters and protesters when it comes to culture, which is just a really ineffective way of engaging the world. We live in the world, and easy to quote, not of the world, but in the world, right? No, I'm of the kingdom of heaven. I'm of Christ, of the Spirit of God, but I'm here, and boycotting usually is not the most effective way of bringing the presence of Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of his work, the gospel, the joy of his kingdom into this world. Rather, I think we have an opportunity to, within ourselves, begin to form habits that satisfy and deepen our soul while walking in a, not boycotting, but walking in a digital world, which will allow us then to harness the digital tools in our hands and use them in ways that then flow from full and satisfied souls.
So good.
But the key is, you know, I have a toolbox at home. It's one of the rolling toolboxes. It's got a couple of stacks to it. In the bottom, I've got like larger things. I've got some of my electronic tools there. As you go up, you got hammers, you got screwdrivers, you got a couple little shelves up top for, you know, sockets.
Yeah.
I grab my hammer out of the toolbox and it doesn't speak back to me. I don't say thank you to my hammer when it's knocked a nail into a piece of drywall or into a wood. But doggone it, if when I'm on ChatGPT, I don't say thank you or would you please do this for me? And yes, ChatGPT has become a sycophant and I'm trying to train it to speak bluntly and not just become an echo chamber for me. Don't be that nice to me.
Yep.
Tell me what's wrong with the thing that I just put in here.
Yeah, it's good.
It takes a level of awareness to recognize these tools talk back. And what they say may not be what I need to hear. And so for the church, the hope is that we before, and I say too late, it's never too late. The grace is never too late. But before we're totally lost in it, and we're close, friends, because it's overwhelmingly our life, that we would have an awareness of the formative power of the screen and how in ancient times people bowed before the God of fire and prayed before the God of thunder and the God of fertility, and we bowed before these gods of nature. We don't do that kind of idol worship anymore, but when a notification pops up on my phone, my head immediately bows. It bows straight to the phone, and it has my attention. It controls my day. It is what I am living for and from. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I got here.
Yeah.
So the hope for the church is that we very quickly become not only more aware of it, mm-hmm. but we say, it's not okay.
Yeah.
I'll let my formation come from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then from a grace-formed soul, mm-hmm. re-enter a digital world.
Yeah.
Where it's not controlling me, but it's now is that hammer. It's not telling me who I am, yeah. but it's what I'm using to build in this world.
It's good. You said a line that in a sermon sometime last year, sorry, I couldn't tell you what sermon or what sermon series it was, but the line stuck with me.
That's good.
And it's, you said it's time to start putting attention to our attention.
Mm, yeah.
And I think now more than ever, it's your attention to screens.
Absolutely.
And like what you're doing with those screens, how often you're on those screens. Pay attention to those darn screen reports.
Absolutely.
On the annoying Sunday mornings when you get them.
Does everybody get them on Sunday morning?
I think so.
I get mine on Sunday
morning. At least
if
you have an iPhone.
Super convicting.
Yeah, right.
As I'm, you know, we're about to start a worship service. Yeah. I'm usually in elder meeting when it goes off and elder prayer, and yep. I get a notification and I should be praying, and then yep. it goes off and I'm concerned that I might be needed somewhere. So I look down
yep.
and the thing that's staring at me is you spent 6 hours and 32 minutes
yep.
staring at your screen.
The Lord's funny how he works, even through the screens. He's going to let us know on his day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's good, Kevin. If someone were to listen to this episode or perhaps read your book, mm-hmm. what do you hope that there's that one-liner they get from it? What do you hope that they leave from it or share with somebody else about it?
That's a great question. I think it would be wrong for me. It one of two things. It would either be, I really desire to have a picture of joy, a vision of joy that not only competes, but overwhelms what I'm getting from dopamine hits in the screen. Mm. But it probably also would be wrong not to say that there is grace for the makers who've lost control. Mm. Because I wrote this book and I had not been on Facebook since 2022. Mm. This book came out February of 2026. And I got, you know, a week or two in and I went, man, I need to let more people know that there's a book out there. So I reactivated my Facebook account, which had been dormant for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And then I found myself within day two or three in the zombie scrolling loop. Mm. Just, it's so easy mm-hmm. to have. And I'm giving you a book about paying attention to what you're paying attention to. And I'm losing control of my attention. I'm losing my focus completely in giving you my book. I need grace.
Yeah.
I need grace every day, every moment. There's grace for the makers who've lost control. Mm. And so I would hope that someone would walk away either yearning and seeking the Lord for that vision, that satisfaction in his joy that is greater than the dopamine spike mm-hmm. of the next reel
yep.
or you know, whatever notification that you're responding to. But I also want their heart to be reminded that we're going to have a lot of flubs. We're going to have a lot of, I got lost again. Because mm-hmm. It's coming at every angle.
Yeah.
But that's not a thing that should shame us. It's not a thing that should defeat us. Yeah. There's a grace waiting for us in every one of those moments.
Yeah.
And I hope that's an encouragement to people.
That's good. I love it, Kevin. It's deep. Deeper than any screen could give you. Any final thoughts? Anything you wanted to add about the book?
Oh, I think that I'm a weird movie guy, so you get references to Terminator
yeah.
and 2001 Space Odyssey,
nice.
A ridiculous animated film called Ron's Gone Wrong. I mean, there's, I interplay with that kind of stuff yeah. as well with you know, the people behind Facebook and the people behind Google's beginning of their OpenAI concepts. Mm-hmm. And so it is absolutely my heart, but I also interact with, you know, some really smart people.
Yeah,
and the things that they have said and put out there, Sherry Turkle, Ann Lemke, you know, just James K. Smith, people who I think really have poured out wisdom before us, mm-hmm. and some who've made mistakes and said, yep, I didn't think about that. And so I think it's a really quick read that covers a lot. I followed the college rule of making a large font with nice wide spacing, that it's an easy read, and not a hard read. And I added reflection questions to the end of each chapter. And cool. So my hope, someone could pour through it pretty quickly, but my hope is, though, as a person gets to the end of a chapter, I usually have 4 or 5 questions. There's something that they could slow down into.
Yeah.
And maybe if someone's reading it, I might prefer that they read a chapter and they don't read chapter 2 for a week or so. Mm. So they could live in chapter 1 a little bit. And maybe there's some chapters that will stand out more than others for that, for different individuals. But it's meant to be a very accessible book. And I sure hope it's a help for somebody.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. Well, I'll close it with this. If this conversation stirred something in you, we do encourage you to grab Kevin's book, Frankenstein in the Age of AI. Continue the conversation in your life groups or ask questions. Kevin will be around and he'll be happy to discuss it or ask answer questions. And
absolutely.
Wrestle well with it together. But your life is being shaped not just by scripture, but all of the technologies surrounding you and all the noise surrounding us. For more info, you can go to frankandai.com. Is that right?
Frankandai.com. Or just go to Amazon and type in my name in the search. And there's a Kevin Boyd who wrote a book called Beer and Yoga. That's not me. Just to clarify. And one who wrote about golf. That's also not me. I probably ought to read that book. But it's there in the first couple of finds, and you can find it there or at frankandai.com. Follow it on Instagram. There's a little tiny community there.
Let's go. Yeah. Love it. You're famous now, Kevin. Look at you. I'm on Amazon search bar.
In my own house and with my mom's Amazon review.
There you go. I love it. Well, I'm going to get me a copy and I'm going to expect a signature from you.
Okay.
And then we'll go from there.
I'll write you a very special note.
I love it. All right. Well, thanks, Kevin, for the time. I'm encouraged and I'm excited to jump into this book. Maybe we'll do a follow-up interview of...
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun.
People, what they thought about it.
That would be excellent. I'd love it.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode of But Wait, There's More. I hope it was an encouraging one for you, and I hope it was an uplifting one for you. And I hope you got just a little bit of taste of Kevin's heart as it relates to AI and technology and how it's shaping our world and our discipleship and our lives today.